All right. Giving you a sneak peek to the evening here. Don't pay attention to the behind the curtain. I'm just doing some practice around here. How's everybody doing this evening? Good to see you. Good to be in church again. How about that? It's a good week. You get to be in church again. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I got to go to work every day, so we might as well go to church every day, too. So good to see you. Good to have Pastor Tim Kratz with here tonight. I'm excited to hear you preach. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for making the trip out. Glad to see everybody. God get us up here safely in the crazy rain, the cold weather, the wind's blowing in. We might need a canoe to get home from what I hear. Storm's coming, but we'll make it. If not, we'll just stay here all night and have church all night. You know, like the old school revivals. So, all right, if you would, turn with me to page 386. I'll ask you all to please stand. We're going to sing Revive Us Again.
Praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now God above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again.
Services and just asking the Lord to throw some wood on that fire and rekindle that fire within our hearts. If you would, Brother Joe, we open this up with a word of prayer.
Yeah. Father God in heaven, Lord, thank you, Lord, that we could come together, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, our Savior. Father, revive us, Lord. Open up our hearts, empty us of the world, Lord, and let your Spirit take over our lives, O Lord God. Help us, Lord, as we go about this day here, Lord, that we lift up your Son. That you give the man of God the words he needs to know through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, I just ask, Lord, that we thank you for everything that you've given to us. For without your grace and your mercy and your loving kindness, we would be really lost people.
Yes.
And we thank you for everything you're going to do here tonight. And may we uplift your Son above all things, that He be the one we talk about. He's the one we think about. He's the one that's in our heart, O Lord God. And we thank you for that. Because he lives in us. Jesus, the Christ living in us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. For his sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, if you would, turn to page 628. Page 628. We're going to sing The Fight Is On. I'm going to sing this one a cappella here. Hear all you out there with the strong voices. Let's boom it out. I love a cappella music, so you'll be blessing my heart. So, page 628. All right, you ready? The fight is on. Oh, what am I singing here? Oh, I'm sorry. That's my fault. My fault. Scratch it. Reverse it. All right, let's start again. The fight is on. The trumpet sound is ringing out. The cry to arms is heard afar and near. The Lord. Sound like right there. If your song leader were to get together, I see I started singing it like I was singing the chorus in the verse, and that does not work, so I apologize for that. All right, let's sing another one here. Let's turn over to page 417. I know everyone knows this one. I like singing this song anyhow, so let's get a little slice of heaven in here tonight. Let's sing out It Is Well With My Soul.
When he's like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with
second. You may be seated.
Amen. Glad to be in church this evening. God's good to us. I'm glad it's well with my soul tonight. I'm glad if I should take my last breath this evening. I know where I'm spending eternity, and I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for 20-some years ago passing my way, opening my eyes to the truth, and bringing me out of what I was in, and I'm thankful for it. Thank everybody coming out tonight. It's a blessing to have Pastor Tim Krotz with us from Bear Trail Baptist Church down there in Cana, Virginia. Your wife's name's Haley, correct? His wife couldn't be with us this evening or this weekend. Just keep her in prayer. Her parents aren't doing very well, and she's having to take care of them. So just keep her in prayer. But, brother, thank you so much for coming up here. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to what tonight holds, tomorrow on Sunday as well. For myself, just to get a little reviving, the flame going in, to stir us on through the last part of this year. We've got two more months left. Let's live less of these last 2 months of this year for the Lord Jesus Christ as we go into the next year. Not knowing what's in hold, but one thing we know is that we're secure in Jesus Christ, and heaven's our home. So thank God for that. Brother Tim, come on up, brother. Amen.
Praise the Lord, it's good to be here this evening. Thank you folks so much for allowing us to come. Appreciate the invitation by your pastor, Chris, and I appreciate the good welcome that I've already had. It's already been a blessing to be here. They've already been a tremendous blessing to me, a great place to stay, a wonderful gift basket, and a nice supper as well. Thank you so much for that. The Lord's so good to us. The brother mentioned, I do apologize, my wife not able to be with me. She normally travels with me when she can, but her dad has cancer, and he's had cancer for 10 years now, but he's really getting in the last stages of that. And COVID just about took her mom out, and she survived it, but she has some serious lung damage from that, and so she's caring for both her mom and dad now. But maybe sometime if I get to come back, she can come with me. She's a much better person than I am. You would love her a lot more than you would me. But I'm glad that I can come, and I hope the Lord will help me to be a blessing and a help to you folks this week. You come out to church on a Friday night in the cold and the rain and the wind to hear some hillbilly from Mayberry, North Carolina. And so I do pastor in Cana, Virginia. I do live in Mount Airy, North Carolina, which is just right on the border of Virginia. And I just celebrated 20 years pastoring, same church, only church I've ever pastored. My dad was a pastor for a number of years. My dad now has dementia and Parkinson's. He had to give up his church in 2019. And so I have a rather long line of history. I was born in a Christian family. And I was a drug addict. I was drugged to church my whole life. And I appreciate the Lord allowing me to have that heritage, amen. And so I've been saved a long time, but I've only been preaching about 23 years. I'm 53 years old, started preaching when I was 30, and been pastoring the last 20 of those years. And so I sure hope the Lord will help us tonight and this week to be a blessing to you. We have a Bible Institute in our church. We try to train our young men, our young women to serve the Lord in ministry in any way the Lord will have them to do that. And I teach in that myself and my assistant pastor. And I learned something. You say, preacher, you're the teacher. Yeah, if you ever stop learning, you're in trouble. And one thing that I learned is try to engage or meet people on common ground. And so tonight, I'm going to call the text, and I hope when I do, that you don't become discouraged because you're so familiar with it. But I call that text tonight because I believe it's somewhere. You don't know me. I don't know you. We can meet on common ground, and we'll build from there if the Lord will help us to do that. So if you will tonight, turn with us to Psalm 23 in your Bible, probably one of the most recognizable passages of Scripture in all of the Bible.
There is no way to elaborate on the entirety of this psalm in one setting. In fact, it would take months to elaborate on the six verses here in this psalm. I've preached through this psalm some time ago in our church. I have 74 typed pages of notes for these six verses in this book of Psalms. It is a tremendous, tremendous passage of Scripture. I'll read it for you. We'll pray together. I'll make several introductory remarks. And then with the help of the Lord, I only want to preach on the first verse this evening. But the Bible says in verse number 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray together. Father, we sure thank you for this wonderful opportunity. What a great blessing it is, Lord, that we'd be able to come all this way to speak to these people tonight in this wonderful church. Lord, would you help us? Would you help us to be a blessing and an encouragement to this dear pastor? Just starting in the ministry and the work here, pastoring, Lord, I remember those days so well. Lord, would you help me to be a blessing to him and his family this week? And then this congregation of believers that would come out on a Friday night to be with us in a service, in a revival meeting. Lord, I don't want to waste their time. I pray that you would give me something tonight to speak to their hearts that would be a blessing to them. And Lord, for that, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The man that God used to pen this great psalm in the Bible is, of course, David. If you were to just recently gotten saved, or maybe you were having your first encounter with the Bible, and you were reading the Psalm 23 for the very first time without ever knowing anything about the author or anything about the background of this psalm, you would think that the man who penned this psalm lived a trouble-free life that was just full of blessing and peace. However, we know that the exact opposite of that is true. This little bit of information teaches us that we should never allow the circumstances of our life to dictate our walk with Christ and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. David obviously had many troubles and many trials and many problems in his life. Many think that David wrote this psalm, and I did as well for a number of years, while he was out watching his dad's sheep as a little shepherd boy. They thought that maybe David wrote this psalm when he was that lad out in the field, laying on the ground, laying on his back, looking up at the stars, writing this blessed psalm about his great shepherd. But I think the exact opposite of that happens to be the truth. In fact, J. Vernon McGee said this, and I like it, concerning David's age in this psalm, and I quote, he said, "In Psalm 23, You do not have the musing of a green, inexperienced lad, but the mature deliberations of a ripe experience." And I agree with that. That's the end of the quote. I believe that's exactly true. I don't think this is David as a young lad. I think this is David as an old king. He's remembering his young experiences that he had as a shepherd boy. He hadn't forgot those days. He hadn't forgot those things. And now the old king, sitting on the throne, he's remembering those past, and he's remembering all that life has allowed him to experience. He has experienced the humility of being a lowly shepherd boy. He's experienced the pinnacle of being a king of the great nation of Israel. He has been at the highest of success as far as wealth, and he's been at the lowest point of depravity because of sin. And at the same time, and in all of those situations, he recognized one thing to be a fact, and that is that the shepherd did not change. Friend, we change, amen. But I'm glad the shepherd doesn't. Thank God for that. So David here, David had experienced great victories over enemies that were much more powerful than he. He had defeated bears with his bare hands. He had defeated lions. He had defeated the only champion that we have in the Bible, and Goliath was simply a rock and a sling. And yet David had allowed the sin of laziness and complacency and the beauty of one woman to cause his life to be brought down to shambles. But it doesn't take much to go from the pinnacle to the pit. And I'm glad that in those times, our God does not change. I am thankful for that. In Psalms 23, we don't see the daydreaming of an immature lad. We see the evidences of a mature reasoning from someone who has lived a long life and withered many storms. Now, Psalm 23 is full of comfort and assurance. We know that. The psalm is about provision, and the psalm is about promise. In the days of prosperity, we can read this great psalm, and we can rejoice, and we ought to do that. In times when our hearts are troubled, and when there is adversary, and when there are problems, we can read this psalm, and we can sing this psalm, and understand that in spite of all of these conditions, we have hope in our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So whether we are mourning or rejoicing, whether we are sick or sad, whether we are in delight or in depression, or whether we're in joy, in sorrow, in triumph, or in tragedy, it seems that there is always something in this psalm for every single up and down in life. The psalm is often referred to, and I'm not being at all critical, I have used it in this case numerous times, but the psalm is often referred to as a funeral psalm. And I've used the psalm in fact, in probably the majority of the funerals that I have preached this psalm, whether it was the text or a psalm that was read at the actual gravesite or whatever the case may be. But it's not a funeral psalm. There's no one that dies in this psalm. And so it is a tremendous, tremendous passage of scripture. Now I want to say this, this psalm is the center of a trilogy of psalms that go together. Psalm 23 would not be the powerful psalm that it is if it stood alone apart from Psalm 22 and 24. Now, certainly not taking away from the psalm individually, that's for sure. It is a very powerful passage of Scripture. But when the psalm is placed in this trilogy of psalms between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24, it certainly gives us a greater picture of the shepherd himself. In fact, these three psalms together are referred to as the shepherd psalms. In Psalm 22, in fact, Psalm 22 and Isaiah chapter 53 are two of the greatest chapters in the Bible about the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. They give more detail concerning the crucifixion of our Savior than does the four Gospels in the New Testament. And so in Psalm 22, we see our Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. In fact, Jesus himself made this statement in John chapter 10 and verse number 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And so now here in Psalm 23, he's the good shepherd. In Psalm 22, in Psalm 23, he is the great shepherd. See, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus," listen to this, "that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." And so he is the great shepherd. Now in Psalm 24, he is the chief shepherd. See, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And so in Psalm 22, we see Christ as the Savior. In Psalm 23, we see Christ as the Satisfier. In Psalm 24, we see Christ as the Sovereign. In Psalm 22, he speaks of the past. In Psalm 23, he speaks of the present. And in Psalm 24, he speaks of the future. In Psalm 22, he dies for our sin. In Psalm 23, he is living. And in Psalm 24, he's coming again. In Psalm 22, he is the life of the the sheep. In Psalm 23, he gives his love for the sheep. And in Psalm 24, he gives his light when he shall appear. In Psalm 22, Jesus is crucified as the Savior of the world. In Psalm 23, Jesus is followed as the shepherd of the sheep. In Psalm 24, Jesus is glorified as the King of glory. What a wonderful picture these shepherd psalms show of our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Rod Mattoon said it this way. I like this quote. He said, "The Lord Jesus Christ is the true shepherd of mankind. He never forgets us. He never fails us, and he never forsakes us. God opened a virgin womb and gave us the good shepherd. God opened the virgin tomb and gave us the great shepherd. God will one day open the virgin sky and give us the chief shepherd." In the Old Testament, the sheep died for the shepherd by being sacrificed. But here in the New Testament, the shepherd dies for the sheep on the cross of Calvary, and believers are his sheep. End of quote. Amen. So what a great blessing. Now, in Psalm 22, it's a great psalm about the things that were going on around the cross of Calvary when our Savior was crucified. There's a lot of things in Psalm 22 that I certainly don't have the ability to pull out and to understand, but I do understand enough from the psalm to know that there was a lot of darkness going on around the cross of Calvary. I know the imps of hell was trying to, I think Satan had realized that he had made a mistake in crucifying the King of glory, and he was trying to get him to come down off of the cross. And the Bible talks about bulls, and the Bible talks about dogs, and the Bible talks about those unicorns and all of those animals there in Psalm 22. All of those animals who are the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all strong animals. They're all animals that are sought after as emblems of pride or status or something of that sort. And yet we come to Psalm 23, and the Lord refers to you and I as his children, as the sheep of the pastor. You know, I don't know that much about sheep, only what I've read. I've never been around sheep. I've never helped farm or whatever, a shepherd sheep, I guess. All that I know about them is what I have read in books. But here's what I've read. I've read that sheep are defenseless animals. They're prone to get lost. They require almost constant care. You can't drive a sheep as you do cattle. The sheep must be led. May the Lord help you and I, you and me, who are his sheep, to allow him to lead us as the shepherd. Now, before we get started here in this verse 1 of this great psalm, Psalm 23 is a testimony of sheep that is grateful to be under the protection of the shepherd. I want to show you what I mean. I want you to notice in these first three verses, look at this psalm. In the first three verses, we see that David is speaking in the third person. In other words, David is speaking about the shepherd. If David were to be speaking to a lost person, we would say that David is witnessing to them about the goodness of his shepherd. If David was speaking to a saved person, we would say that in these first three verses, David is testifying about his great shepherd. So we see that. Look at these verses. Look at verse number two. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Verse 3, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, that thing changes in verse number 4. And for the remainder of the psalm, he is speaking in the second person. And instead of speaking about the shepherd, he's speaking to the shepherd. He says in verse number 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Look at this. "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me. Thou anointest my head. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So I want to look at three things here about this shepherd, and just one thing about "I shall not want and will be finished." He said, the Lord is. If we just stop right there, what is he? The Lord is. First of all, he is the present shepherd. I'm glad that the Lord is the present shepherd. Turn with me, if you will, to hold your place here and turn with me to Psalm 86. We'll spend a little bit of time in Psalm 86 for a few moments. He is the present shepherd. Look what the Bible says in verse number 5. Just want to exalt the Savior a little bit this evening. The Bible says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." What a great shepherd. The Bible says here that he is good. Thou art good, the Bible said. Not that he was good or will be good. He is good and he's ready to forgive. I don't know about you, but I'm glad we have a forgiving shepherd. I'm glad for the day that I got saved many years ago and God forgave my sins. But I'm glad that on a daily basis, the Lord Jesus Christ is a good shepherd and a forgiving God to creatures like you and I who certainly need his mercy and his grace. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "But God, who is rich in mercy," amen, "for his great love wherewith he loved us." I'm glad that we have a God who is rich in mercy. He is ready to forgive. He is plenteous in mercy. Look down at verse number 13. Of Psalm 86. The Bible says, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." His mercy is great. Verse 5 said he was plenteous in mercy. The verse I quoted in Ephesians said that his mercy, great mercy wherewith he loved us. And then he's rich in mercy. And then the Bible says here, "Great is thy mercy." His mercy is great right now. His mercy will be great tomorrow. His mercy was great yesterday. And friend, as the pastor mentioned, I don't know what next year holds, but I know that one thing, God will still be a good God. He'll still be a great shepherd, and his mercy will still be great and plenteous, amen, in 2022 if we make it there. If we live to see tomorrow, there's one thing I'm sure of, and that's the mercy of God will be great tomorrow, just like it was today, amen. Thank God for a great shepherd who is wonderful in mercy. Come back to verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. "Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works." Listen, there's never been a God like him. There will never be a God like him. There's no God that can compare to him. There's no God that can do the things that he does and that he will do. He is the present shepherd. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "For thou art great and doest wondrous things." I like this. "Thou art God alone." Listen, friend, there's no other God. There's none like him. There's no shepherd like our shepherd. There's no savior like our savior. There's no God like our God. A God who would look down upon humanity, that would look down upon you and I, Gentile dogs who had no hope and no covenant and no God and no savior. And he would go to that cross of Calvary and defile all the imps of hell and bear all of our sin on that old rugged cross so that he could come to Psalm 23 and we could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then we look to Psalm 24 and we see the day when our shepherd is returning, amen, and we're going home to be with him. Oh, friend, I want to encourage you tonight to remember and to realize there is no shepherd like our shepherd. Look at verse number 15. Look at verse 15, same psalm. "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." He is all of these things right now. He is the present shepherd and he's full of compassion. Listen, we're living in a miserable world. We're living in a time when morality is gone, and we're living in a time when people can't get along, and the world seems to be in turmoil, and it seems that no one has compassion. But friend, I want to tell you about a shepherd tonight who has compassion. The Bible doesn't say that he's just a compassionate God. The Bible says he's full of compassion. Amen. Compassion. What is compassion? Compassion is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by sin or misfortune. I'm glad when I was stricken by sin. I'm glad the Lord didn't say, oh, he's no good, just kick him off into hell. No, he had compassion for him upon my soul. I like the way the Bible finds compassion. The Bible says in Psalm 78 and 38, it says, but he, being full of compassion, look what he did. He forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up his wrath. Friend, how many times, be honest with yourself, be honest with God. How many times have you went astray? How many times have you went back on the things of God and you've done wrong concerning the word of God and you've not done the things that God would desire like for us to do, and yet God is full of compassion and his wrath was turned away and his anger was turned away and he didn't turn us away. He is a great shepherd, friend. What a blessing to know this wonderful shepherd of mine. He is a present shepherd. He's gracious. He's kind. He's long-suffering. Look at one more and we'll get another point. Look at verse number 12. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all of my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Listen, our shepherd deserves way more than our half-hearted praise. He deserves all of our praise, all of our honor, and all of our glory. He is a present shepherd. Look at Psalm 23 again, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. He's a personal shepherd. Now, by what authority do you say he's my shepherd? I ask the question tonight, is this psalm for everybody? I don't think so. It says the Lord is my shepherd. It can be for everybody, but you'll have to receive the shepherd who died for your sin in Psalm 23 before he can be your shepherd in Psalm 23. So the shepherd that died in Psalm 22 must be received as the sacrifice for your sins before you can say with the psalmist in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, you know what I like about this? David didn't say the Lord was my shepherd. Now, you say, preacher, those are just catchphrases. Okay. You know what happened in David's life? You know that David, the Bible defines David as a man after God's own heart. We know that, but all of us know the terrible sin that David committed in his life with the affair with Bathsheba and killing her husband Uriah, having him killed. And yet David does not say the Lord was my shepherd, but then I messed up and now he's no longer my shepherd. No, David said the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, what a personal shepherd. You know why? Because he's a God of full compassion and a God who's plenteous in mercy. And in spite of the fact that we messed up, I'm glad we can return to him in repentance and God will be our shepherd. Amen. It does not say the Lord was my shepherd, indicating that there was a time in the past when he was following God. David didn't say the Lord will be my shepherd one of these days when I do enough good works or when I earn my way or when I finally arrive, then he'll be my shepherd. No, David said the Lord is my shepherd. You know why he can say that? It was not dependent upon David. It's dependent upon who the shepherd is. It's not dependent upon you and it's not dependent upon me. It's dependent upon who he is. He's the one that died for us. We can receive him and he becomes my personal shepherd. Oh, my past is flawed and my present is far from perfect. And knowing myself, I know my future is not going to be a lot better. Oh, but let me tell you about my shepherd, friend. Oh, thank God. He is my personal shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Right now, let me ask you a question. Is he your shepherd? Jesus said in John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Do you listen when he speaks to you from his word? Do you listen when he speaks to you through the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, or the music that you sing? He wants to be your shepherd. If he's not your shepherd, he can be. He doesn't have to be someone else's shepherd. He can be your shepherd. I want to talk just a minute. I made just a comment a moment ago about not knowing anything about sheep personally, other than things that I've read. I want to read this to you. Maybe you can see just how dependent actual sheep is upon its shepherd. Now, sheep cannot, from what I read, and you may know, I don't know, but from what I read, sheep cannot exist without men. They're domesticated animals dependent upon the care of men. We too are dependent upon the Lord. We need Him to shepherd us. To my knowledge, nowhere in the world is a sheep being used as a national symbol, like eagles, lions, or bears. Why not, preacher? Pardon me for using this word. I'm not trying to be rude, but sheep are stupid and stubborn. Have you ever been to a circus and seen a group of sheep that have been trained to do something? There's a reason for that. They can't be trained to do anything. They train the dogs. They train the lions. They train the leopards. They train the elephants. They even train falcons and eagles. But you can't train a sheep to do nothing. Listen, they don't see or hear well. Their sight is only about 14 feet, so they do not see approaching danger very well. Sheep are dependent and defenseless. They're awkward. They're not very fast. They have no camouflage and not much of a bite. They're not candidates for the kings of the forest. They have no weapons of defense. They have no sense of direction, which cause them to wander off and get lost easily. Sheep also scare easily and are confused with very little effort. In a panic, they have been known to plunge over the edge of a cliff to their own death. These traits reveal that a sheep needs a shepherd, and so do we as well. All of those animals that are mentioned in Psalm 22, and the Lord refers to you and I as sheep, it's not because He doesn't care for us or that He's looking down upon us. It's because He knows our frame, and He knows how much we need Him, and He knows how much we must depend upon Him if we're going to make it. The sheep cannot save itself, and you and I cannot save ourselves either. We must have the shepherd. Men are spiritually blind, lost in sin, and need the great shepherd. It's an amazing thing that He is willing to take someone as sorry, some sorry people in His flock and make them the sheep of His pasture. And I say that because I'm one of them. Amen. So we see that He is the present shepherd. He is a personal shepherd. He's also the preeminent shepherd. The Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. Now I say that He's the preeminent shepherd for a couple of reasons. It means that He is superior in excellence, or He is superior to others. In fact, to be preeminent means that He is surpassing all others, or that He's very distinguished in some way. And our shepherd is actually very distinguished in every way. I'll give you just a couple of examples of this, and we'll move on to something that I want to look at in the remaining 15 minutes or so that we have. Moses was a great shepherd. In fact, the Lord said that Moses was the meekest man in the earth. And he had to be. He led probably, depending on who you believe or what you think about it, anywhere from 1.5 million to 3 million Jews out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and around in the wilderness for some 40 years. And those people did nothing but whine and complain and murmur and bellyache. They were good Baptists. And Moses led those people for all of those years. Moses was a good shepherd. But see, one day Moses got so aggravated with the people when they wanted water again that instead of speaking to the rock as God told him to, Moses smote the rock a second time. Disqualified him from entering Jordan. In fact, the Lord took his life and buried him. He said, preacher, why such a great... Well, it messed up a type. That rock is a type of Christ. He was to be smitten one time, not twice. And so God took Moses... Moses was a good shepherd. Moses was a far better shepherd than I would ever be. There's no way I couldn't even begin the thought of imagining leading that many people for one day, much less 40 years. But Moses is nowhere near the great shepherd. David was a wonderful shepherd. In fact, he's the writer of this great psalm that we're lavishing in tonight. David was a man who had such integrity that he would kill a lion and a bear with his bare hands because they took another man's sheep. That's quite a shepherd. That's quite a sacrifice. That's quite a man. And yet David killed Goliath with the sling and the rock. And I think David's greatest accomplishment from all of that is the two opportunities that he had to take Saul's life, knowing that God had already anointed him king and knowing that he was already going to be the king over Israel. And the only thing stopping him was Saul's life. And Saul was trying to kill him. And on two different occasions, David had the opportunity to take his life and he didn't. He's a great shepherd. But he got tired of fighting, and he got tired of the war, and he got tired of the battle, and he stayed home, and his laziness and his complacency called him to see a woman that was not his wife, and it messed up his life. He's a good shepherd, but he's not the preeminent shepherd. He's not the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's your shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I could go on with that. We could talk about Solomon. The Bible talks in the New Testament about behold a greater than Solomon's here. We talk about Jonas. The Bible says behold a greater than Jonas is here. But I want to look at something. I want to look at something else, and I'll finish up. Let me skip a bunch of pages here. Come to back to Psalm 23. Well, you're probably still there. I want to look at one thing. Now this is important. We can elaborate a great deal on the Lord is my shepherd. And I don't think we could ever overdo that. And I don't really think we could ever even do that justice. I've heard a lot of preaching in my life on the Lord is my shepherd. But I've heard almost no preaching on I shall not want. You see, the great thing about the Lord being your shepherd is that he satisfies. The psalmist is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not changing the scripture. I would not change the Bible in any way, form, or fashion. I just want to get this in your mind. The psalmist is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and I'm satisfied. I shall not want. Now, if we're honest, and I encourage you to be honest, if we're honest with ourselves and we're honest with God, knowing that fact, we can hardly say that verse without lying. You know why? Because our very Adamic nature, we're people who are full of want. We're people who are greedy. We're a give me, give me, give me generation attitude. In fact, the overwhelming majority of people in our country, as blessed as it is, are completely dissatisfied with their lot in life. Now that's bad, but what's worse is it's bled over into our churches. And a large number of people who would boldly and proudly stand and proclaim, the Lord is my shepherd, but if they said the rest of the verse the way that it was in their heart, they'd say, and I'm full of want. In other words, they'd be saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and as wonderful as he is, I'm not satisfied. As great as a shepherd as he is, I'm not satisfied with my lot in life. I'm not satisfied with where the Lord has me. I'm not satisfied with what I'm doing. I'm not satisfied with this. I'm not satisfied with that. Friend, it's not the shepherd's fault. We just spent a large amount of time expounding on how wonderful he is. And so if you're not satisfied tonight, it's because of your own heart. So the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now I want you to look at something. I want you to come to Psalm 34 for just a moment. Psalm 34. Thank you so much for being such patient listeners. What a blessing. It If the first statement of this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, is true, the second one is equally as true, and we know that they're both true. I want you to look at this Bible definition. We know what the word want means, but let's get a Bible definition. Look at Psalm 34, verse number 9. It says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So we learn from Psalm 34 and verse number 9, we learn that this passage of Scripture teaches us that the word want means to lack. There's something lacking. Well, if the Lord is our shepherd, there should be nothing lacking. Now, look, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. I'll read the verse. James chapter 1 and verse number 2 says this, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. Y'all know the last two words, wanting nothing. Now here in Psalm 23, come back to Psalm 23. I'll show you this and I'll stop. There's much more that we could share. With the Lord as my shepherd, there is nothing that I will lack. Now look at this, just in verse number 2. I shall not want rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Listen, he leadeth me beside the still waters. With the Lord as my shepherd, I shall not want for rest. The Lord has green pastures and still waters for me if I will accept that in my life. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want restoration and right paths. Look, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, verse number 4, I shall not want for reassurance. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. My, tonight, if you're lacking that reassurance, if there's fear, our country is selling fear by the bucket loads. And the Lord says, I'm your shepherd, I'm your shepherd, I'm your shepherd. I have reassurance for you, friend. What a blessing. Verse number 5, if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want for refreshment. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want for results. Verse number 6 says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to leave you with this. I won't preach it to you. I'll let you go home and read it if you will. Psalm 34 teaches us how to arrive at the point of having no want. Now I'm going to tell you what it is, and if you want to go home and study that tonight, you can. You're going to be amazed, but you'll read it for yourself in the Scripture. The way that we have no want is we fear the Lord. That's taught plainly in Psalm 34. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because I fear the Lord. Man, what a great Savior. I'm glad he's my shepherd. Thank you so much for being attentive. God bless you, brother.
A lot in that message tonight, a lot in that message you can take and go with. I'm glad tonight, I really am, I'm glad tonight, I know I've said a lot, that God is a God of compassion and mercy and grace. You know, you don't have to look at anybody else, you just look at your own self and you have to glorify God in just those statements right there. That God is gracious to you, that God's merciful to you, that God is loving and compassionate to us. Psalm 34 the verse that jumps out at me, he tells us to go back and read Psalm 30. I'm going to try to go home tonight and read Psalm 34. One of the reasons why the Lord, why people don't realize how good of a shepherd is that they don't taste and see that the Lord is good. They go every other place to try to find what satisfies, but to the true one that can satisfy, and that's Jesus Christ. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night, Lord willing, and Sunday, and what the Lord will do for us. Help us. This thought kept coming to my mind sitting down there of the thought or of drawing closer to the shepherd. You know, if you're struggling, if you're having a hard time, go close to the shepherd. I know I've said this before with sheep, if they fall into a depression, a literal depression in the ground, sometimes their stomach can get so bloated that they can't get up out of that hole or that depression in the ground unless the shepherd comes up and lifts them up out of that ground. And before that sheep can go off and do its own thing again, that shepherd usually has to hold it, or that sheep leans up against that shepherd till it's ready to keep going again. So if we're struggling with anything this evening, anything going on in our hearts or in our minds, just take some time and lean up against the shepherd and let him help you. But make sure, like Brother Krotz said, make sure he's your shepherd. I don't want to take nothing for granted in a church. Make sure God's your shepherd. And if he is, go to him for help. Go to him for help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, dear God. Lord, just thank you so much, dear God. Thank you for these words this evening. Lord, I pray you'd help us to meditate on them, dear God. I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't just go in one ear and out the other. Lord, I pray we lay it to heart, dear God. I pray that we'd have a proper fear of you. In the fear of the Lord, there's wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. God, help us to look up these references in the Bible talking about fearing you. And Lord, help us to apply them. Thank you for Brother Krotz, Lord, and his willingness to come to us these 3 days, dear God. I pray you bless him and his wife. Watch over her while he's away, and her parents and his parents, dear God. Just keep your hand upon them. And Lord, watch over us tonight as we get ready to head home. Lord, that we would just get there safely. And Lord, if it be your will and we live to tomorrow, dear God, I pray you bring us back again safely tomorrow evening. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I'd like to close with one last hymn. Blue hymn book. Is that small? Okay. Page number. Page 344, if you can stand. Page 344, one of my favorite hymns in the hymn book. Page number 344, if you can stand. Sing Satisfied. Page 344.
All my life long I had panted for a drop from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has prayed. Jesus satisfies my longings. Through his blood I now am saved. Feeding on the husk around me till my strength was almost gone. Long my soul for something better, only still to hunger. Jesus satisfies.
Message on this familiar passage. Every time we hear a familiar passage, we need to hear it because there's a new twist on it. We appreciate your messenger who brought that message forth tonight. We pray, Lord, that you give everybody safety and travel tonight on the way home. We pray these things in your precious son's name. Amen.
Amen. Love you all. Dismissed. Amen.